Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Silvercrest Metals, traded on the TSX under the symbol SIL and under the NYSE under the symbol SILV. Shad and I are chatting with the president, Chris Ritchie. Now, Chris, before we get into the news that just came out from the company, a broad update on some of the drilling at the Bobby Kenora area, I want to chat macro with you, whether it comes to precious metals broadly or even the silver sector. You and I always include a bit of a macro discussion, and I let you kind of run with some of the news, some of the reports, and some of the conversations you've been having with some of the bigger banks and high net worth people. Chris, what's caught your eye in terms of developments for the precious metal sector, which in all fairness has been a pretty boring sector for investors, and unfortunately when it comes to gold and silver specifically, has been very much sideways to down for the last now over a year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little, not so much boring as it is just painful. And there's a bunch of stuff going on. I mean, right now I saw a report from Bank of America that took the $3.2 trillion that they have within their network. And that survey identified that they're at absolute extremes in terms of weighting between equities and bonds. So they're at over 65% of the weightings are in equities and about 17.7% is in bonds. And if you look at that divergence today, it paints a really easy picture to see, which is rates are at all-time lows. The Fed's talking about tapering. And if that means rates go higher, you know, owning bonds right now is not that interesting. But the other side of the coin is, you know, stocks are valued at approximately 70% higher than long-term averages. So the stocks really aren't that interesting either. So where do you hide? So I think that's part of it right now. And that consensus trade of looking at the Fed tapering has also led to people going long the US dollar, right? And what are commodities and gold and silver denominated in? It's US dollars. So what you've got is these really, really big extremes building up, right? So right now you've got, you know, on the daily sentiment charts that the bullishness on gold is only 8%. So again, like you've got a consensus trade where everybody's against gold. And again, let's go back to even look at where gold and silver are trading. You know, the 25-year average for a gold company on a PNAV, the price to net asset value, is about 1.5 times. The gold sector today has never been healthier, which we've touched on in the past in terms of balance sheet, free cash flow, but they're trading at about 0.8 times. PNAV. So you're trading at roughly half the valuation of a 25-year average, where everything else is trading at extremes. So where do you hide when the government intervention has been this strong? So I think one of the other things that we've talked about in the past too is what inflation tends to do to PE multiples. And the higher PE multiple or higher inflation goes, you know, the lower multiples go. It's just that we've had too much, you know, vodka in the punch bowl for years, that this Pavlovian experience of just being in the stock market hasn't broken yet. So again, I've used this reference of, it's like playing musical chairs with 20 chairs. And when the Fed stops, you know, they're pulling out 17 chairs instead of one, you know, and if you look at sort of when we've had tapering moments in the past, you know, 2010, the market was down, I think, 15%+, you know, in 18, the market was down, you know, 22% or so. And then this last year with the COVID was, you know, down 30%+. So you've got these things where, how do you protect yourself? So I think that's a big thing that we're looking at now. So everybody is against gold. And again, that makes it interesting, if not painful, but it also dovetails into how we're trying to run our business. Like, we're really trying to make sure we're managing the risk and having that long-term upside. But the macro couldn't be more interesting. And I'll say one last point on the macro. When you look at how the Fed calculates their CPI, a big chunk of that basket is, you know, housing. And the housing is a lagging indicator. And I had some people reach out to me from some of the pieces of news that they were seeing that CPI basket's, 32%. For housing. And it's expected to go to 6.9% in 2023. So even if the rest of the economy is showing deflationary forces, there's a healthy tailwind to kind of keep that inflation looking pretty interesting for a while. So again, there's it's just there's a fun flow dynamic that's really taking control, and who knows where it ends.
Yeah, that is true, Chris. Who knows where it ends? But look, all eyes are on the Fed, and quite frankly, no one knows what the Fed's going to do. But boy, oh boy, they do carry a heavy hand in these markets. Let's move over to the news that was released just yesterday, September 9th. Again, this is infill and expansion drilling at the Bobby Kenora area. Now, we saw some, again, good grades over some pretty good widths, too. These are estimated true widths, 3 meters of over 3,000 grams per ton silver equivalent, 3.6 meters of 2,800 grams per ton silver equivalent. Chris, take us through this drill program. It's a large drill program that's ongoing, but both the balance between infill and expansion drilling here around this Bobby Kenora area, please.
Yeah, and it's all about working to improve and de-risk and, you know, optimize and really focusing on front-end free cash flow. So, again, one point that's really important to make is on just IRR, you know, and we have a 52% IRR, and that's an internal rate of return. And that's at $19 silver and $1,500 gold. But a really important thing to note is that IRR is calculated the day one you start your CapEx, you start your build. So the time leading up to the release of that study doesn't count in the calculation. So if you're 15 years getting to that point, all that money spent over that 15 years isn't really calculated in the return. And I don't think anyone would think that's overly appropriate. So a big thing for us, and again, we've talked about this in the past, we hope to get the cash flow in about 7 years when our peers are about 20. So where this dovetails into our drill program is that when we put our feasibility study out early this year, we weren't anywhere near done drilling. But what we did know, this project was highly economic, we could move forward aggressively, and we wanted to save time. And that's the dilution, that's capital, that's the investor's money. So we're doing a parallel path. And that parallel path is on the construction, which we'll talk about, but then also on how do we add value at the same time? So when people sort of ask the question, oh, you have too much money. Well, we have things we want to do outside of just what's outlined in that feasibility study, right? So, you know, this is that drill program. So we spent $10 million or $9.2 million to try to infill roughly 15 million ounces that were in the resource category. So for everybody, these ounces were not in the mine plan. These ounces are not included in our NPV, our official valuation. So our goal here is to do the work to get enough confidence to eventually put those ounces into a mine plan, into our official valuation, and add value while we're working towards production. So If you can take those 15 million ounces, and historically our conversion rate's at about 60 to 70%, but again, historic data does not imply future data, right? So there's a little disclaimer. But if we're anywhere in that ballpark, you know, you're roughly spending a dollar for every ounce that you might be able to put into that category. Again, I'm saying might because there's a balance of work that's yet to be done. And that balance of work is deciding, well, we got to go get those ounces. You know, and the beauty of these ounces are they're right in front of us. They're near surface and they're near existing infrastructure. If they were 10 miles underground and we had to spend a crazy amount of money to go get them, well, then they might not be economic. So if you take the money we spent to drill them, and we're going to do our work in the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 months on, you know, whether or not they're economic. And again, they're very close to where we're at. They're 200-300 meters away. Then you can sort of take, well, X dollars to go get them, you know, 10-ish million dollars to drill them off. But if you have the same margins as our ounces that we have in the mine plan today, you know, you're looking at roughly $15 margins at today's silver price and our all-in sustaining costs. So again, we don't know what the grade is going to be like in the mine plan. And the grade of these ounces is much higher now, but that's before cutting and diluting them. So that grade will come down a little bit. So again, my point is I don't know what that number is exactly going to look like, but if it's anywhere near, again, the numbers that we've got in the feasibility study, you can sort of take that, what's that value of X number of ounces times $15 a margin, approximately, and then look at your taxes, your present value, and you're still hoping to make a multiple on your return on capital. So again, that's a long way of saying that our focus right now is spending our money in the most efficient way possible. And this is all in attempts to improve or de-risk or get higher free cash flows earlier in the mine life, right? And then hopefully what that's also going to enable us to do is then buy time. Because one of the real painful things about us moving so quickly is about 75% of the drilling we've done since the May 19 PEA has been infill drilling, right? Like it's not been the sexy new growth all over the place, but it's just necessary work that takes time. But we're doing it at the same time as opposed to sequentially. We're doing it in parallel. So again, we're looking at saving money in the bigger sense while we're de-risking the construction, and we're adding value versus sitting on our hands. So I think that's the big focus here, is us converting or attempting to convert, you know, those 15 million ounces into something that we can put it into a mine plan, into an official valuation, you know, something that might have the opportunity to improve the near-term free cash flows. And then that program is going to cut off in about a month or two. And that's when we'll turn that work over to the engineers and they get to figure out the economics of it, when we might want to access that material. And then from, you know, closer to year end going forward, that's when you get into the big sexy growth stuff. Now it is higher risk, but that's when you get to the new material that we hope to find. That's when you get to the 30 plus veins that, you know, aren't in the mine plan or that haven't really been drilled off till date. So again, we're at that point now where we're adding value, decreasing risk, moving the construction forward, but giving that, again, another parallel path where we can get back to some really interesting growth.
Well, Chris, you bring up some great points there about how you're continuing to get a great return on the investment. And a lot of this infill drilling that you've done is not in the mine plan yet, but it does continue to build more value, and it may allow you to move some things forward on the front end of the mine plan. But you mentioned you haven't had as much time to do some of the discovery work on your property, which still has a lot of potential. But you did in this press release mention the confirmed discovery of the Chute 201. So I wanted you to just quickly update our audience on that. What are you finding with the Chute 201, and what could this mean to the overall plan of the company?
Lots and lots and lots of high grade. I mean, these are, you know, the average grade, you know, back in the day, over 100 years ago when this mine produced, was, you know, 3,000 grams a ton, right? And our average grade's, you know, just under 900 grams a ton. And we have areas where we've got really high grade chutes. So again, you know, your costs in mining come from moving tons. So the actual goal here is you'd like to have as much gold and silver in the least amount of tons. So again, for us, these ounces aren't in the mine plan, but what it does is offers flexibility. So imagine if you only had one vein to drive on, and then you're going underground and you start to mine it, and the grade doesn't look like what you thought it was. Well, you got what you got, and there's really no other alternatives. The more underground development you have, the more options you have to source ore to put into that mill. You know, so if there is a vein that's a little lower, you can go to an area that's a little higher. You have choices, right? So again, that's another thing that is really important with us parallel pathing and having the balance sheet, is we get to then contemplate, is this area economic, which we'd like to think it was. Then we can go spend the money to create that development. So by the time we get through our first year or so, we hope to have more options. And again, if there's an opportunity to put higher grade earlier into the mine plan, then that's a great option to have. A lot of people just don't have it. So, you know, when we talk about new discoveries and new options, you know, it's all about that idea of, you know, adding ounces in the front end, adding enough tons to eventually get to a position where you're increasing your mine life. Maybe you get to a point where you're actually increasing the amount of throughput per year you're putting through the mill. So we need time, right? So we just need time to get any of those options. And if we're kind of finding some low grade here and there, some more really, really high grade, and we'll do our best to bring all that value forward while still making sure that we're operating smoothly and making sure we're in positions to sort of do our best to meet and beat guidance.
All right. So, Chris, sounds like you guys are still going full steam ahead with the drilling, exploration, and also infill drilling here, all with that focus on what improves the mine plan, what improves economics here. What can you give us in terms of updates when it comes to the development side of the company then?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't said anything about the construction, which is by far the most important thing here. We've already created critical mass, and we're chugging along really nicely here. So we put a construction update out a few weeks ago. We were about 32, 33% complete. We'll put another one out at the end of Q3. The major thing here is everything's looking good, you know, knock on wood. You know, all the major pieces for the SAG mill are on a boat. So some of the logistics and supply chain stuff, we're trying to get that out in advance. And reminder for everybody that a huge chunk of our CapEx is covered by a fixed price contract. You know, so when I reference that at the end of this year, we hope to be about 80% complete. That means the, you know, 40, 45% of the CapEx that is exposed to inflation or problems, you know, the majority of that's going to be spent. So we have smaller and smaller amount of potential financial impact to a mistake, you know, as time progresses, right? So I think, you know, we're still knocking on wood. We got a lot of things to manage, but, you know, time's ticking. And, you know, our current plan here is to be starting production, like just the starting the ramp up in Q2 next year, right? So again, here's that parallel path between reducing risk, you know, and at the same time continuing to try to add value, you know, all while this market is trading at, you know, decade-like lows. So, I mean, to me, the opportunity isn't to suggest there isn't any risk, isn't to tell people that you got to, you know, put half your money in gold and silver. What I am suggesting is take 5, 10% off your big, big winners, you know, the things that are trading at, you know, big multiples over long-term averages or things that are very, very crowded, and nibble away. Right? Because again, we're not out of the woods. We still have to build it. We still have to ramp up. We still have to see the recoveries. But my point is at some point in time, our hope is that we find enough ounces or that cash flow looks interesting or gold and silver prices move. And by that point in time, I don't want there to be any stock left for people who are late to the party. But again, we don't need people to be heroes. So, I mean, if we could get, you know, investors just buying 25 to 50% of a position, and if things keep going lower, you know that there's a snapback that only makes sense at some point in time. So it's just sort of, you know, watch the risk, nibble away when the risk starts to go away. And hopefully you're in before the people that, you know, are waiting, you know, because some point these things move and they're called cyclicals for a reason, right? So right now, like I said, it's painful, but it's not boring. I mean, these are multi-generational opportunities that the industry is presenting ourselves with right now.
Well, Chris, just as we wrap up, I want you just maybe to close up with that thought on the risk and the asymmetrical nature of Silvercrest, because every company talks about the leverage it has to upside in metals prices, which almost all mining companies do. And of course, if you increase, you know, the ounces that you have in the ground before you go to the mine plant, that's another value driver. If you hit with the drill bit, just like every company, if they hit with the drill bit, although you've had some great high grade hits there, it's still going to increase the value of most companies. But you have that other angle where if metals prices don't do well, and if they go through still a rough patch, you're kind of insulated to the downside. And so maybe talk about the asymmetrical bet side of the Silvercrest story for everybody.
Well, you know, assets like this don't come around very often. You know, we're one of the top two or three highest grade assets in the world. So one of the main focus of our team is don't screw it up, right? Really make sure you've got a buffer. And you know, the fact that we move quickly and the fact that we have so much left to drill, let's give ourselves that time to surface that value. Okay. So, you know, the first nature is we've really built up a balance sheet that's going to allow us to navigate some problems. It's going to allow us to potentially do some more underground development that wasn't in the original budget. It's going to allow us to hopefully drill more ounces that, you know, well, most people have to sit still. The big irony here is also that if gold and silver drops to $19, well, we still have a 1-year payback at those prices. Well, the rest of the industry is really going to be struggling to stay afloat. So if you own a high cost operator and the costs and the gold and silver drop, you know, you could be down 30, 40, 50% and your business case for owning the stock isn't any more clear. Because you're not surviving. You're flipping a coin to see if gold and silver is going to go up and down. If we can pay off all of our debt in less than a year, if we can kick off pretty generous free cash flow at those levels, we're kind of the last guy standing. So the irony there is that the dedicated funds, the ones that have to be in this market, you know, 24/7, 12 months a year, what do? We actually think that the dedicated funds are going to actually have to gravitate more towards defensive names in a down market, right? And at the same time, if the fund flow does come back to this industry, everybody's going to benefit. But again, can people navigate the downside the same way? So again, we've got, you know, an extra $40 million we've got on the balance sheet for just corporate purposes, just in case. You know, we've assumed all the revenue in 2022 during ramp up is zero, when in our feasibility study, it's over 30 million. We assume that we've screwed it up. There's more CapEx to spend. The recoveries don't work very well. You know, we've talked about $50 million in IVA, which is like a VAT tax that the government collects. They give it back to you. But again, who knows when? We've raised money for all those things. We want to survive the massive shocks. You know, we want to give people clarity that that's our focus and that's our strategy. So what do we get from that? Hopefully we get time, right? Time to find more ounces, time to get the cash flow, time for us to improve the mine life, and then time for the gold and silver market to kind of revert to the mean, right? So yeah, we're kind of in that very, very fortunate time frame, and we're very respectful of the quality of this asset. So priority number one is don't screw it up. Give the shareholders the time to really get a bunch of that option value. But the work we did today was also hopefully putting us in a position where that very near-term upfront free cash flow or potential free cash flow is hopefully more interesting now. So it's almost like we want to pay investors that free cash flow yield to take that call option on the various ways in which we hope to add value.
All right. So Chris, taking this all into consideration and really looking ahead for the investor, can you summarize what you think are going to be the key catalysts here for the stock outside of any movements in the metals price? You guys have a lot of work ongoing here, both on exploration and drilling, as well as development. Where do you see the key catalysts really catching the market's attention in the near term?
Every quarter, we're going to put out a construction update, right? And if the risk starts to be managed appropriately and the amount of challenges in front of us, that list starts to shrink, and you're getting closer and closer to that free cash flow, which is not, hopefully not that far away. Those are very big catalysts. Because again, there's a very different audience that's there for the exploration versus the bigger type investors, the long-term people, the risk-averse audience. They're waiting for free cash flow and cash flow. So we've got a big audience of investors that don't like the certain risk profile that we're in right now, right? It's called the Lassonde curve, and it's the boring during construction phase. That, you know, as that phase comes to a completion, we hope that there's a long list of people that are lining up to buy the stock, right? So I think that, you know, market structure dynamic of the investor is something over the next two or three news releases from a construction update perspective are going to tell us an awful lot. As it relates to drilling, I mean, we're still really busy. We're still really active. We're still pushing aggressively. And a lot of that focus is just in and around the infrastructure. You step out a few hundred meters. If you hit, you infill, you know, on the way back on that front. So eventually we're going to just kind of pick away and we're going to find more ounces, and we're just going to keep adding that to the mine plan and to the resource. So again, it comes back to that scarcity of the stock itself. So I think that's going to kind of tidy up in a pretty interesting way. And then again, you're going to get to a point where that cash flow starts to kick in, and it's going to be, hey, what are people waiting for? Right. And again, we're a small company in the global sense, right? We're a big company for junior mining investors, but we're a small company in the global resource. It is not going to take much demand to clean the stock up.
Hey, Chris, great update as always. There's a lot going on with this company. And if anybody wants information on any of the aspects of growth for the company, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. In full disclosure, Shad is a shareholder of Silvercrest Metals. We will be following up on the back of some more news. Chris, I appreciate this update. Keep in touch on the back of some more news, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Appreciate your time.